Yo, Dushya Jan, Dada, Sutan, Yo, Dushya Jan, Dada, Sutan, Surid, Rajang, Fidi, Sprisha, Surid, Rajang, Fidi, Sprisha. Jaho, Yuvaiva, Malavad, Jaho, Yuvaiva, Malavad, Uttama Shloka, Lalasa, Uttama Shloka, Lalasa, Yodushya Jan Dada Sutan, Surid Rajang Riddhi Sprisha Jaho Yuvaiva Malavad Uttama Shloka Lalasa Yodushya Jan Dada Sutan Surid Rajang Riddhi Sprisha Jaho Yuvaiva Malavad Uttama Shloka Lalasa
On, there's a lot of people here. Someone else, please stand.
Yadushya Jan Dada Sutan Surid Rajang Hridi Sprisha Udindhaiva Balabad Uttama Shloka Lala Saha Yodushya Jan Dada Sutan Surid Rajang Hridi Sprisha Jaho Yuvaiva Malavad Tumashloka Lalasa
Matajis?
Yadushya Jan Dada Sutan Surid Rajang Hridi Sprisha Jaho Yuvaiva Malavad Uttama Shloka Lalasa Ya
The same Judd Bharat,
who was formerly Maharaj Bharat, the son of Maharaj Rishabhdev, Dushya Jan, very difficult to give up, Dada Sutan, the wife and children, or the most opulent family life. Surit, friends and well-wishers, Rajam, a kingdom that extended all over the world, Hridi Sprisha, that which is situated within the core of one's heart, Jaho, He gave up. Yuva Eva. Even as a young man. Malavat. Like stool. Uttama Shloka Lalasa. Who was so fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Known as Uttama Shloka. Translation. While in the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharat gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, and an enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharat was so exalted that he gave them up just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of His Majesty. Responsibly, please. While in the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharat gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, and an enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharat was so exalted that he gave them, up just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of His Majesty. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The name of God is Krishna because He is so attractive that the pure devotee can give up everything within this material world on His behalf. Maharaj Bharat was an ideal king, instructor, and emperor of the world. He possessed all the opulences of the material world, but Krishna is so attractive that he attracted Maharaj Bharat from all his material possessions. Yet somehow or other, the king became affectionate to a little deer, and falling from his position, had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Due to Krishna's great mercy upon him, he could not forget his position, and he could understand how he had fallen. Therefore, in the next life, as Jud Bharat, Maharaj Bharat was careful not to spoil his energy. And therefore, he presented himself as a deaf and dumb person. In this way, he could concentrate on his devotional service. We have to learn from the great King Bharat how to become cautious in cultivating Krishna consciousness. A little inattention will retard our devotional service for the time being. Yet any service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never lost. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 40. A little devotional service rendered sincerely is a permanent asset. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1:5:17. Chaktvasa dharmam charanam bhujang hader bhajan apakvo ta patet tato yadi yatra kva vabhadram abhudyamish mushikim kavarta apto bhajatam sadharmata. Somehow or other, if one is attracted to Krishna, whatever he does in devotional service is a permanent asset. Even if one falls down due to immaturity or bad association, his devotional service is, his devotional assets are never lost. There are many examples of this. Ajamil, Maharaj Bharat, and many others. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving everyone a chance to engage in devotional service for at least some time. A little service will give one impetus to advance and thus make one's life successful. In this verse, the Lord is described as Uttama Shloka. Uttama means the best, and Shloka means reputation. Lord Krishna is full in six opulences, of which one is reputation. Aisvargasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yasasa Shriya. Krishna's reputation is still expanding. We are spreading the glories of Krishna by pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna's reputation, 5,000 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra, is still expanding throughout the world. Every important individual within this world must have heard of Krishna, especially at the present moment, due to the Krishna consciousness movement. Even people who do not like us and want to suppress the movement are also somehow or other chanting Hare Krishna. They say the Hare Krishna people should be chastised, unquote. Such foolish people do not realize the true value of this movement. But the mere fact that they want to criticize it gives them a chance to chant Hare Krishna, and this is its success. Om Aganatramandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshun Milita Nena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandayam Siguro Sitapadakamalam Sigurun Vaishtavangcha Si Rupam Sagitatam Sahagara Ganaraganatang Vitang Tang Tajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivasakan Vitangcha Hey Krishna Kruna Sindo Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Kuroti Vachalam, Pangam Lungayate Giram, Yakripata Maham Vande, Sigurum Dinataranam. So who here amongst us remembers Muhammad Ali when he was in his prime? Yeah, us older people. Some of you may have been young, but you still have this memory. And do you remember him saying, I am the greatest. No one can defeat me. Who remembers this? Yes. We remember this. Now, was this attractive to you?
Sure.
It's attractive to you, okay. Not attractive to you. Not very attractive to me either. Because this is someone who's very arrogant. And he's trying to exalt himself as the greatest fighter. But does anyone know what his situation is today? He has, what is it, multiple sclerosis or... Yes, he has a very serious disease. Now, some time ago at the Olympics, they allowed him to light the torch to start the Olympic Games. He was shaking, and he somehow or other was able to do this. So, does he still think he is the greatest fighter? I doubt it. Huh? He was the most beautiful. Oh, he said that also. So, black is beautiful. Krishna is beautiful. He's black. Krishna said, Krishna, yes, black is beautiful, but he's not black like you. He said this in Africa. All right? I used to also think I was somewhat of an attractive, handsome young man, but now when I look in the mirror, it's just not happening anymore. That's Krishna's mercy. Because through the agency of time, he defeats pride. You no longer can say you're anything special in due course of time. This provokes humility in the living entity. And the living entity, when he becomes humble, he can surrender to Krishna and can, with an ecstatic mood, chant the holy name. Trinadapi sanitena, turadapi sahistana, amanina manadina, kirtanyak sadahari. Not only one must be humble to chant the holy name in an ecstatic mood, but one must be tolerant. I mean, getting old and sick and weak and ugly and all these things isn't easy. It's a difficult procedure that we all go through. And if we want to chant the holy name with ecstatic feelings, we have to be tolerant of getting old and getting sick and getting ugly and getting diseased and all these things. Trinadapi sunitena, torodapi sahistana. Amanida but manmanadina. One must consider oneself lower than the straw in the street. I mean, to be forced to go through old age and sickness and disease, it kind of provokes this type of mood. Yes, if I had my way, I wouldn't have to go through this procedure of old age. But I'm being forced to do so. So therefore, there is some force greater than me, and I bow down to that force. And we all know from experience within this world that when there's a force, there is a personality behind it. So we can understand by seeing through the eyes of Shastra, that force of the conditioned souls having to undergo this old age, disease, sickness, and death is Krishna. Mityu sarva harashtaham. I am all devouring death. So this has some benefit on us. Because we can come to some understanding if we are at all intelligent. There's no future for us here in this material world. And whenever one comes to this conclusion that there's no future, there's no material future, then we can renounce. So Maharaj Parikshit and also Maharaj Bharat and so many other exalted living entities that we hear about in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are exalted because they gave up their desires to enjoy in this material world, although they had full facility. It's not like Maharaj Bharat and Maharaj Parikshit, they gave up their kingdoms and their beautiful wives and their loving children and their big bank balance and their strength when they were old. They did it in the prime of life. Here it is even mentioned how Maharaj Bharat, in the very prime of his life, when he's the most strong, when he's the most famous, when he's the most beautiful, and his wife is also the most beautiful, and he has the biggest bank balance at this time, and his children are young, so they're the most affectionate. They're not teenagers, in other words. They're younger than that, and they think that their father is the greatest, whereas teenagers, they look at their father and they say, oh, I want to become greater than him. And instead of worshiping, they become envious and they want to usurp his position. They want to take the bank balance. This does happen in the material world, by the way. Many, many instances of one's own children becoming envious. So this envious mentality has to be given up if we want Krishna's mercy. In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the very first sloka, Sri Bhagavana Vacha Itam Tute Guyatamam Pavaksyam Yanasuyave Yanang Viganasa Itam Yadyatva Moksase Supat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart unto you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of this material existence. So to become relieved of the miseries of material existence requires a very prominent qualification, free from envy. So how do we become free from envy in the material world? It is a disease that we contact that when we turn our backs on Krishna. So we have to practice by being non-envious of Krishna's parts and parcels. How do we do that? By rendering of service. Just like I come from the Western world, I was born in the Western world, and there's a very prominent holiday called Christmas. And a ritual in this holiday is that you give gifts to others. And if you participate in this holiday in a very exalted manner, you do it without expectation of gifts in return. You simply want to give There's a saying, the gift is in giving. So you're giving up your desire to be the receiver of gifts or wealth. And you want to give wealth to others. In other words, you're giving up the desire to be the enjoyer. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's the sloka, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam, Sarva Loka Maheswaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Yadvam Mam Santam Richati. That there's three things that we have to understand if we want to be peaceful in this world. That Krishna is the Bhokta, he's the enjoyer. Bhoktaram, he's the beneficiary of all sacrifices. And he is the most dear friend. So what mistake did Maharaj Bharat do? He did not give up the mentality that he is the protector. He's a Kshatriya. And when he was undergoing his tenureship as king, his duty was to protect on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But once he entered into the renounced order of life, he no longer had this duty of being the protector. And when this little deer was floating through the water and supposedly had no one else to protect it from him but him, he had a lesser understanding and think, oh, if I don't take care of this little deer, nobody will. So he picked up this baby deer out of the water and he nurtured it, he fondled it, and gave it an abundance of affection. And so much so that his sadhana was greatly disturbed. Now, I mean, I've taught this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Bhakti Vaibhav course, I'm not sure, maybe three or four times. And we go through this a lot. What would everybody do? What was the proper thing for Maharaj Bharat to do when this situation happened? Let me hear some. What do you think he should have done? Anyone else? Yes. Okay, I didn't, you know, this room has very poor acoustics. So I won't try to hear someone else say what they think, because I pretty much know all the answers because I've asked this question to my classes before. Some of the answers are as follows. He maybe should have found some householder, Brahman that's in the forest and said, could you please take care of this little deer? That's their duty, not his. Okay? Or maybe he should have simply taken this little deer and for a few days, you know, arranged so that, you know, he, you know, gave it some grass to eat. And then as soon as it was trained to eat grass, simply, you know, shoo it away. Don't give it too much affection. Just simply officially feed it and give it what it required, you know, just to stay alive. And then tell it to get lost. And if required, in an abrupt and maybe even with a little bit of a like that. So on and so forth. So many different answers were there. But why did he not understand this? There's a purport in the latter section of that particular chapter that says because he did not have the association of a spiritual master. He didn't have someone around that he submitted to and took instruction from and took guidance from. He gave up this when he went to the forest. All saintly kings would have some guidance from the brahmanas and so on and so forth. Maybe he should have asked one or two of these brahmanas to accompany him to the forest and to, so that he could take guidance from them and instruction from them while he was undergoing his renunciation. So this goes to show that we should never think that we are beyond reproach. That we should always think ourselves to be incapable of going through this process of self-realization alone. So this is a danger when one becomes a guru. You're surrounded by all these loving disciples giving you whatever you need and praising you to the hilt and giving you like all material comforts and nice things to eat. And so therefore, to stay healthy, just like Maharaj Bharat, to stay spiritually healthy, we need someone around us who we consider to be more exalted than we are and who we can take instruction from. And it's also nice to have people around that we have like friendship with. And it's also very healthy to have those around us that we can give instruction to. All these three types of relationships are healthy for a living entity. But one must have these relationships in proper balance. It's always nice to preach to people because that reinforces the realizations within one's own heart. So there's nothing wrong with having disciples because you're giving Krishna consciousness to others. And it's also nice to have friends because we can have loving relationships with other devotees who are on the same level of realizations as we are. And we can have these loving exchanges of sharing our Krishna consciousness with others. And it's also very nice having these devotees around us who we consider to be more exalted than us. And we have the opportunity to serve them, to inquire from them, and to offer our gratitude and thanks to them. So these three different relationships has a very healthy effect on a aspiring transcendentalist. So an aspiring transcendentalist never thinks that he has made it. Never does a devotee of the Lord think that, yes, I have reached the pinnacle of self-realization, and so therefore, now I can relax and enjoy myself. If one comes to this conclusion, that will invite the sledgehammer of Krishna's mercy. He will smash the pride somehow or other. He is in control. And don't think that there is not a beautiful woman in this universe that cannot allure you and attract you to want to in your desires, to want you to enjoy with her. He has the potency to even place this sledgehammer upon Lord Shiva, who is the most exalted Vaishnava that we can ever imagine coming in contact with. He was simply saying, you know, Krishna, you have this form of Mohini Murti, and you know, I think I can handle it. Can you please grant me her darshan? She's you. I want to see her. And Krishna says, uh-huh. You're sure? Yeah, I'm positive, no problem. So what happened? Lord Shiva, he had great difficulty. And he did it in front of others too. He did it. He went after her in front of his wife. He ran after her in a lusty way in front of all these saints, sages and saints. Krishna embarrassed him to the hilt. So, are we tired of being embarrassed in this material world? If we are, we will never be proud, no matter how exalted, and think that we are beyond the capability of becoming attracted to the material energy. Srila Prabhupada, one thing he said about his American disciples, he says, one problem you Americans have, you're not afraid of Maya. You're not enough afraid of the illusory energy of Krishna. This is due to the training of the Americans. They think that they can enjoy in this material world better than anybody else. They have the most beautiful movie stars, and they also think that they can control better than everybody else. America has a reputation for having the most powerful army. And they have a reputation for having the most controlling leaders. They think that they can go around because they're backed up by a very powerful army. They can go to all the places of the world and say, we are the greatest. And don't mess with us. If you don't do what we say, we'll send our army onto you. But what has happened in history? I mean, the American government went to war in Vietnam. I mean, a very small country with a very insignificant population. But they, with the backing of some other countries, they engaged in guerrilla warfare. I mean, the Americans weren't used to this. I mean, being shot at from behind the back. They weren't used to not being able to identify who the enemy was by their looks. Generally, there's like some racial differences, or there's a different uniform, like in World War II, or in the the Revolution, American Revolution. The British, they marched to war with these, and they played their trumpets and their drums, and then they had their bayonets, and then the Americans, they had their specific uniform, and they engaged in warfare like face to face, no disguise. But this warfare in Vietnam was the precursor to the wars that now are going on, like in the Middle East, or in Somalia, or in Afghanistan, or in Iraq, you don't know who the enemy is, and they may sneak up on you and throw a bomb underneath your vehicle. Or they may shoot at you from behind a pillar. And you don't know who's the enemy and who's the friend, because they all look alike. So America now has been compromised. They lost the war in Vietnam. They lose so many wars now. So now they're very cautious. Ooh, we don't know who we want to go to war with, because we've had some very trying experiences in our past. So similarly, we should be very, very cautious if we think that we can go to war with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and try to usurp his position as the enjoyer, the controller, even the most dear friend. We shouldn't think that we can be the most charitable, giving, loving personality, because we are limited. We cannot feed everybody. We cannot provide medical help to everyone. This is what the Christians in the history of the world, they were trying to be the most dear friend to everyone. They would get people to convert to Christianity by opening up hospitals and schools, these two things mainly. And then they would get mainly the Sudra population to convert from whatever religion they were previously to Christianity, because, oh, here are these people come along and they provide for me and my family and my countrymen what we require in life. So then these must be very good people. They must have the absolute truth at their fingertips. But little do they know that it's Krishna or Jehovah or Buddha, whatever it may be, who is giving them the potency to give whatever they have to give. It's not them. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with this understanding that regardless of who you consider God to be, what his name may be, or whatever scripture you may consider to be what you want to follow, it is Krishna, that he is the protector, he is the friend, he is the enjoyer, he is the source of all opulences, all strength, all wealth, all fame, all renunciation. Let me see, I did write a few notes here, I haven't looked at them yet. All beauty and all fame. Maybe I'm mixing that in. Anyway, there's six opulences. So in order for us to give up our enviousness to Krishna, we have to understand that he has all these things in full, and that other living entities have all these opulences in maybe a higher degree than we do. And we should not think that we are lesser than them because we do. Or we should not endeavor to try to usurp their position and endeavor for these opulences more than they are, thinking that we will be happier than they are, is if we have these opulences in a higher degree than them, all the way up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And understand that it's not how much money you have, how famous you are, how talented you are in so many ways, either it's in lifting a heavy weight above your head, or ice skating in a very beautiful way around a rink to the applause of thousands of people, or being able to shoot a ball through a round hole that's very up high, and doing it, being able to do it better than someone else is going to make one happy. It is by serving the great souls. And through those great souls, rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will relieve one from the miseries of material existence. It is described that the dwara, the gate towards entering in the spiritual world, is by rendering of service to great souls. Is dwara mahu ahur vimuktes. This supreme goal of liberation is through rendering service to the Mahatmas. And if you want to go up, you serve the Mahatmas. And if you want to go down, you serve men that are attached to Yoshi. That means Yoshita Sangi Sangam. They're attached to women. Okay? They're attached to the woman's, you know, organ that is, that gives the man in the material world the most enjoyment. It is basically saying that in a very point blank way. So this is the difference. To associate and serve those living entities who are free from this attraction to the woman, or for woman it is the opposite. You know, you serve those, the attraction between man and woman. That is the basic problem in this material world. And this attraction that causes degradation. So to become free by serving those great souls who are free themselves, then you take on their qualities. And they have great love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they have great love for an affection for every single living entity. You cannot have affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless you have a love and affection for every single living entity also, because every single living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So this happened to Maharaj Bharat eventually. He had to go through some struggles of taking birth as a deer and then as Jed Bharat. But then eventually he did have affection for King Rahugana, and with great love and affection for him, gave him very valuable instructions. And during that lifetime, he forewent all material enjoyment. Although he had full facility, he was very strong. He was actually very handsome also. And he was born in a very exalted Brahmana family, full facility. He could have got a very beautiful wife, but he knew better. So we should also know better. And with our experience in the material world and the devotional service through the association of Srila Prabhupada, Maharaj Parikshit, Jud Bharat, and so many great souls that we have access to associate with, come to this understanding now, regardless of where you are in the samsara. Young, old, man, woman, so on and so forth. And seriously take up the service of great souls and endeavor like anything to become free from the attractions of this material world by attaining attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions or comments? We have a few minutes. Yes, Prabhu. Get the microphone. Very good. I'm getting old. I'm actually hard of hearing.
I was just thinking this guerrilla warfare which you mentioned in the... So isn't it cowardly that someone is disguising, coming from the back and hitting some whatever, you know? It's just so cowardly, I mean. So what do you say? I mean, how is it they have no standards that they're doing some... I mean, you know, I'm not able to...
Yes, there's no standards of warfare in this day and age, age of Kali. It gets only worse. And not only in the age of Kali do people shoot guns from behind the back, but they shoot sharp arrows of words from behind the back and to others, and not in front of your face. This is just like shooting a gun, because it's a exercise of envy. And if we want to be to please Krishna, we have to give up this envy of him and every other living entity and act accordingly. Okay? Any other questions? Yes. Microphone. I just want to make one point that when I first joined ISKCON, a brahmachari, he would never give the microphone to a mataji because, oh, women are maya. And there I see nicely serving a mataji, walking over. He didn't say, you come and get it yourself, and this kind of... We had very bad training in our youth, coming when the movement first started. We didn't have... there's only one adult in the Hare Krishna movement. That was Srila Prabhupada. And he wasn't around us all the time. So we had a tendency to say, women, they're maya. They should not be in the temple room when we're chanting japa. They should go in the stairwell or outside in the cold. But now, as ISKCON has matured, and ISKCON, we actually have a lot of experience. Now we have old people, and we have people joining our movement from very cultured backgrounds. So now we understand differently that we honor the mother and we serve the mother. We don't chase her away. Prabhupada made some comments that if you can't handle the ladies chanting japa in the same temple room, then you should just go to the forest. There's going to be ladies everywhere. So why, you should be able to deal with it and be respectful to every single living entity, including the opposite sex. Yes, Mataji, how can I serve you?
Hare Krishna. Well, today I woke up with this question, actually, that what does it actually mean to be afraid of Maya? Because I just remember some Prabhus, they are so afraid of women that they don't look at them, and it seems like, I mean, they are so afraid that somehow they just think of illusion all the time instead of thinking of Krishna. So What would your advice be?
I understand. There is attraction and there is aversion. Of course, it's better to be exercising aversion than attraction. So if someone has an intense attraction for the opposite sex, better they do try to focus their minds on the holy name and chant their japa without looking at the women. And if the women's form does go before their eyes, to look away. But at the same time, they should understand that they're in a very fallen condition. And that is due to a contamination of the heart And they should not condemn women for this. They should condemn themselves. And should exercise utmost humility and respect for women. And when they do come into their purview, they look at their feet. They don't just simply turn their backs on them. And it's a very nice way to exercise this in a pure way is to call them mother and engage in some, and if they ask for some service, you render that service. Like that. Never bad words. There's in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, there's that one instance of, there's three ways to commit offense. One is, the worst way is to physically harm another living entity. The other way is to use strong words against another living entity. And another way is to offend someone with their mind. In other words, you turn your back or you ignore. These three different degrees are there. And, you know, we were very guilty of these types of offenses against ladies when in the earlier days of Krishna consciousness. And many of the older devotees, they're scarred from this. So they don't want to be approached, told as mother. They don't want to be called mother. They want to be Prabhu. Because there's some bad experiences. And so therefore it's carrying over. So we have to be patient and tolerant and call them, the request to be called Prabhu, call them Prabhu. And don't call them Mataji. Because Mataji was done in a way, Mataji, you know, get out of here. Or Mataji, you know, get out of the temple room, go into the stairwell. You're the most fallen. Because of you, I'm having difficulty. Get out. Like this. Any other questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Just a recap, you said we should serve the great saintly personalities and not serve the lower men that are attracted to women.
Right.
But out of compassion, we're serving the fallen souls. So is that on behalf of the saintly people?
That's fine. To serve the men or women that are attracted to the material energy through the association of the opposite sex by giving them Krishna consciousness, by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, by distributing prasadam, by arranging for festivals with nice music and entertainment. That is a service that is acceptable to those that are of the lower caliber, because that will raise them up to a higher platform. Very good. Good point. Any questions, comments? One more. Well, we can have two more, maybe. Actually, we can't. I'm an illusion. I was thinking it is like 3 minutes to nine. It is actually 9 o'clock. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the next slide. I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Shall we go Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Oh, Thank you. Hare Krishna,